Morning. Christ's name, again a privilege to be together in the house of the Lord. I've enjoyed being here this morning, enjoyed looking into God's Word, appreciated the thoughts there that Brother Allen shared on each of us have a purpose. God created you for a purpose. He created me for a purpose. I at least sometimes need to be reminded of that. God has a particular plan. This morning we want to, or in some ways that thought continues, or will continue on here with what I want to think about this morning, maybe in a little bit of a different way than what Brother Allen was thinking about, the thing of each of us having a purpose. This morning I'd like to continue on speaking on the subject of the Christian home. For those of you that are visiting here today, this might seem just a little bit lopsided. The last two times that I spoke on this, I shared on the role of the husband, the importance of that, the role that the husband has in a marriage, in the home. Now today I'd like to switch to the other side of the house, and I want to think on the wife's role. And again, I'd just like to say here at the beginning that let's keep in mind that we already saw God's clear plan for the husband, and we will now look specifically at God's place for the wife. Again, as I did with the subject of the husband and father, I'd like to lay a little bit of groundwork for this, and then we will get into some more practical aspects. Turn with me, first of all, to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, when God created Adam, he made a perfect man. But in spite of his perfection, in spite of being made perfect, Adam was not complete. You might think that, well, does that make total sense? Well, yes, I believe it does. But in spite of being made perfect by God, Adam was not complete. God's opinion of the matter was expressed here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, where it says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." Well, we trust that God does all things well. So we conclude that God wanted Adam to lack something. I find that interesting to think about. God wanted Adam to lack something. God designed that vacancy in man. Then God designed the solution to that vacancy, to that, I don't know if you want to call it a problem or what you want to call it, but God designed the solution for that. Verse 22, "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man." What a beautiful thing. God bringing man and woman together. How can it be that man is seeking to tear this beautiful design, this sacred union apart? How could it be that man is just, doing things in a different way, taking what was so beautiful and trying to do something else with it? This is not what we want to talk about this morning. But today, God still wants to use the wife to complete her husband. He still does. He wants to use you as a wife to complete your husband. And today I wonder how many women actually think about that? and see that for what it is. At least that is God's design. That is his design. Proverbs 18, verse 22 says, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." The only way to experience happiness is by living according to God's design for you. That is where you will find happiness. That is where you will find fulfillment. It's only as you live in that designed purpose. Remember that man needs a helpmeet or suitable helper and companion. That is why. That is specifically why you were created. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 9 says, "Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man." This is the only matrimonial plan that will bring joy. It'll bring trust. It'll bring peace. The only plan that will bring security. This does not mean that one is inferior to the other. But we have very different roles and places to fill. God didn't make roses grow on top of pine trees, nor are they so small that you have to get on your hands and knees to smell them. They're perfect. We know that. And we are too. When we are filling the place, the purpose that God wants us to fill. All right, I'd like to look at four aspects of the created design for woman. God has made you the only suitable companion for your husband. You will become that as you make these aspects a part of your life. These aspects are, number one, we'll be looking at as supportive. Number two, submissive. Number three, loving. And number four, a keeper at home. We want to look pretty in-depth at each one of those. Supportive, submissive, loving, keeper at home. Today we'll look at the first two, and then probably look at the last two another time. So, number one, to be supportive. You might think, what does that mean? To be supportive. Well, it is God's will that the wife supports her husband. And there are many different ways that a wife can do this. There are many different times. There are many different ways that a wife can be there and support her husband. I think of a number of things. One thing that came to my mind was at a time of loss. There are losses that we all face. You can support your husband when he is facing a loss. Maybe it's a death of a relative. There's just so many different kinds of losses that it could be. You can support him. Maybe a friend moves away. Maybe your husband lacks work. Maybe he's lost money on a job. Maybe he is betrayed in a friendship or confidence. Maybe he loses a certain, a favorite kind of work. You name it. There are many different kinds of losses that could be faced. But you're called to be supportive. You can also be supportive at a time of failure. We all make mistakes, and us men are not exempt from that, even though we're maybe a leader in the home. Maybe with our responsibilities, we actually make more mistakes. I don't know, but we do. We all make mistakes. There will be times when your husband will fail. He simply will. Other times, maybe he will feel that something is a failure when it really is not. When your husband fails in something or makes a mistake, how do you respond? What goes through your mind? How do you respond to those things? Possibly he's trying a new kind of work, and it really didn't work out. It simply didn't work out. Maybe he overlooked you in a important decision that was to be made. How do you respond to that? Maybe he spent some money unwisely. Maybe he's trying to fix something and, you know, truth be told, it actually made it worse. How do you respond? You know the things that irritate your husband. If you feel that he will encounter one of those things, pray for him. Pray a lot for your husband. When you know that he will be around non-Christians and maybe seducive women, pray for him. As far as you can, help him to avoid sexual temptation. Another time that a wife can be supportive is at a time of responsibility. Man has responsibility upon his shoulder. And I've heard it said, and I believe it to be true, that the wife has a lot to do with how effective the husband is in his responsibilities. You can be supportive. He needs your support. There are many ways you can help in this. When you know the responsibility is overwhelming, do what you can to lighten the load. Maybe you are limited in what you can do. And yet, there are a lot of things that you can do behind the scene. What about when the workload is extra heavy? Maybe your husband is one of the church trustees, and there is a building project or something going on. Maybe he's on the school board and has another meeting to go to. Are there some things that you can do in the home to lighten his load? I'm sure there are those situations. Maybe your husband has the responsibility to have a topic or devotions and needs to spend some time studying. Again, I believe there are things that you can do. You can help a lot in those things by keeping the children occupied. Those are all things that come under the line of supporting your husband in the work that he's been called to do. I believe there are just so many things that can be done to express your support. You as a wife can also be an emotional support for your husband. My mind went to Isaac in this. Isaac's mother had died, leaving a great void in the life of her son. And God, who had taken Isaac's mother from him, gave him a wife. Through her, God consoled Isaac. In Genesis 24, verse 67, it says, "And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." There are times that your husband needs emotional support. Maybe he just got home from work or just got back from a trip or some meeting, and you can tell that your husband is just emotionally drained. Then is the time to fulfill your responsibility in supporting him. Listen to what he has to say. Give him the opportunity to talk about what took place. Listen patiently and find a way to encourage him. Verbalize your confidence in him. That is so important. Verbalize it. Verbalize in some way your confidence in him and his ability to get through this. How you respond to these situations has a huge impact. I don't think we fully grasp maybe the impact that responses to those situations, the impact that has on a husband. You as a wife can also be a spiritual support to your husband. Now, yes, I do understand that the husband is the spiritual leader in the home. Certainly, he needs to be there. He is the, he needs to be the spiritual support of the home. However, you as a wife can also be a support in that, a spiritual support to your husband. Due to the fact that the husband is a spiritual leader in the home and his responsibility in that, I believe the devil targets us as husbands with temptations which the rest of the family may never experience. That's highly possible. Well, you can support your husband in his spiritual battle. How do you do that? Well, number one, you pray for him. Pray daily for him. Pray for yourself. Pray for your family. Be constant in that. Be constant in your submission. Remember that you are supposed to support, help, and encourage, not to lead. Do not fall into the trap of scolding and complaining. Are you supportive or are you tearing down? All right, I'd like to move on now to the second aspect. Talked about supportive. I'd like to think now about to be submissive. To be submissive. In today's world, well, no one wants to be submissive to anyone for various reasons. Certainly, it goes against the flesh to submit. Instead, everyone wants freedom. They want freedom and they want to be equal with everyone else. Employees want to be equal with their employers. Students want to be equal to their teachers. Women want to be equal with men. And sad to say, this is found in many marriages as well. I'm afraid that these philosophies of the world are rubbing off on us at times. Earthly wisdom from the devil himself. Very seducively whispers to women, you know, don't submit to your husband. He's not more important than you are. Do what you want to. If he does not like that, let him move on. That's what happens so often in the world today. Thus, many women fall over the deceptive cliff of independence and rebellion, and many, many, many homes are broken. On the other hand, heavenly wisdom points to the safe and high road of submission. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We have familiar verse there. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And there's this last part here is what I want us to really get, is as unto the Lord. There is how it is supposed to be done. In this world, which is quickly abandoning itself to perdition and misery, we are in desperate need of women who joyfully submit. Without these women, our homes, our churches, our cultures simply disintegrate. They fall apart. Are you a submissive woman? What is submission? I'd like for us to consider several things that I believe are a part of submission. Before we do that, I'd like to say that submission is not a lack of importance. It's not a lack of value. It certainly is not. It is not a lack of intelligence or wisdom. And it's not slavery. First of all, a part of submission is simply to yield. Yield to your husband. Think of it this way. When one driver yields to another on the road, he gives him, we'd say, he gives him deference. That motorist drives his vehicle calmly, hopefully, safely, because he is not competing with other drivers to be first. He gives them deference. Well, the submissive wife gives priority to the wishes and needs of her husband. And she delights in doing that. She delights in putting her husband before herself. Her aim is to joyfully conform herself to her husband's wishes, unless, of course, that means violating God's will. But as the wife does this, there's safety. There is rest. There's calmness. There's a serene life because she's not competing against her husband. Yes, she can talk and give her opinion, but she's submissive. Another part of being submissive is to obey. Obey your husband. The Bible says that the wife should submit to her husband as the church submits to Christ. In Titus 2, verse 4, I believe it is. Titus 2, verse 4. It also says that the wife should love her husband, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Love is more than romantic feelings and physical expression. In John 14, verse 15, Christ teaches that the church's love for him brings obedience. He says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." The submissive and loving wife carefully fills her husband's instructions. The ideal wife, though, is not satisfied to wait until she is told what to do. Rather, she tries to discover her husband's will and find satisfaction in fulfilling it then. Find out what kind of, you name it. There could be many practical things here. Find out what kind of, maybe, dress material your husband wants you to buy. How he wants you to make your dresses. How does he want you to dress your children for church? It can be as simple as, there's just so many things. Does he like to be at church 15 minutes early? Does he like supper at 6:10? Or is between 6 and 6:30 okay? There's so many things that a wife can do. I once heard a man saying how he was a meat and potato man. And his wife soon learned after they were married that he was not at all a fan of casseroles. He just didn't care for everything all mixed up like that. So she rarely made that. Although she was used to that in her home, she rarely made that after they were married. Another man's response, and I personally heard these responses, another man's response was that, I like casseroles. I would like a steady diet, or I could take a steady diet of them. Well, those are the things that you as a wife, you have the privilege of serving your husband in that way. Does he always have to have exactly what he wants? Well, probably not. But if you love your husband, you will seek to find those things out. Seek to do things that make a difference to him. A submissive and loving wife will want to take those things into consideration, probably is a good way of putting it. Another part of being submissive to your husband is to respect him. Respect him. And here's an area that I believe is so important, and as I have observed situations at times, I believe there's a breakdown in this. Ephesians 5 verse 33 says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." I don't know what all is meant by that, but See that the wife reverence her husband. You might ask, how do I do that? I pondered that for a bit, and I have a number of things I jotted down here, and I'm sure there are others, but a couple of things that I jotted down is, number one, notice your husband. Notice the good qualities that he possesses. You probably know better than anyone else that he's not perfect, and maybe those things stand out to you. But do not dwell on his faults. Don't wait until your husband does something really big to notice him. Dwell on your husband's positive qualities. That is going to go a long ways with your husband. Notice those things. If he provides for the family, if he's tender and compassionate, if he's attentive and patient, if he fixes what is broken, if he keeps the lawn mowed, you name it, long list of things. Notice those things. Comment about them. Simply put, don't take your husband for granted. That is a way that you can reverence your husband. Another way to reverence your husband or to respect him is regard him highly. Have him in your thoughts instead of other men you may happen to be around. Do not flirt with others. Do not disregard his high value. Already alluded to that. This man is not just your husband. He must be your intimate friend. You do not compare him with other men in the way that reflects negatively on him. Do not wound him by noticing that the things of other men, more interesting, less overweight, more clever, less irritable, better mechanic, whatever. Those things are real. Don't expect him to be a Superman. Value him for being a normal man and for being the man that he is. Be careful with the comments that poke fun or belittle your husband. Maybe he does have some odd habit. We all do, I believe. Maybe he bites his fingernails. Maybe he licks off his knife at the table. Maybe he never cleans out his pants pockets before they go in the wash. Maybe his socks end up inside out in the wash. Those are the kind of things that I'm talking about. Comments made in public about these things, sometimes they can be made in fun, and we might think we're making them in fun, but comments made in public about these things, other things such as these, are generally not respectful, and they are not conducive to good relationships. Things to think about. Another way to respect your husband, honor him. Honor him. How do I do that? Some of these things are pretty connected with each other, but do not keep to yourself the good that you see in your husband. Express those things. Yes, without flattering. Praise the good that you see in him. Whatever it is. Maybe it is in his musical ability. Maybe it is in his way of working with the children. Maybe it is his being a gentleman when he opens the door for others. You know, maybe, just maybe, your husband does have a long way to go to fulfill what we all talked about in the roles of a husband. But find areas that he does well and thank him. Again, do not take him for granted, but be grateful. Whether much or little, thank him for what he provides. Thank him for the love that he demonstrates and the leadership that he gives. Another way to respect your husband is, number four, prefer him. I believe this one kind of pulls together some of the things we have talked about already, but of course you desire to you desire and appreciate him above everyone else. You seek his company, his counsel, his decisions, and his approval. You work for his good and comfort. With your eyes and ears, you notice what he does well. In your mind, you value him. With your mouth, you honor him for what he is. You prefer him then with your soul. You thank God for him, counting yourself blessed for being his wife. Do you do that? Do you really count yourself blessed for having the husband that you have? I trust that you do. All right, another way to respect your husband, and this one is a bit different than the rest, and that is cover your hair. You might think, well, now that's an interesting one in the midst of this, but according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2 to 16, we aren't going to take the time to read that, but the covering on a woman's head signals her acceptance of the headship order that God has established in the home. And that is a way that you can respect your husband. The woman should wear this symbol of submission at all times because she should accept God's plan and submit to her husband at all times. I believe that any wife or any woman, for that matter, that refuses to wear a veiling is rejecting the symbol of man's authority. And I hope this isn't too strong to say that, but I really believe that. Any wife or woman, for that matter, who refuses to wear a veiling is rejecting the symbol of man's authority and dishonors her husband. I believe it's that simple. In contrast, the wife who wears a covering honors her husband. Her covering declares to the whole world her intentions to yield to him. It declares to the whole world her intentions to obey him, to respect him. If she does these things, she demonstrates what this symbol represents. Her covering should be a mute testimony of the internal reality of her relationship with God, first of all, and with her husband. It is a symbol of that. We could say that her covering is also a constant reminder. It is a constant reminder of what her life should demonstrate. So, the wife who wears a covering honors and respects her husband's. We aren't necessarily going into the point of... There certainly are lots of situations where a wife does do that, where it wears a covering and still fails in the thing of respect and submission and so on, but we won't get into that. All right, we need to move on. We've been looking at the aspect of being submissive, and we have assumed that we all agree that the wife should be submissive. I hope that we all recognize that is God's plan and design. However, we know that not everyone agrees with this aspect. And I'd like for us to try to understand why God decreed it this way. So just why should a wife submit to your husbands? And I'd like to consider two reasons. There probably are others, but two reasons that I thought of. Number one, very basic, but God knows best. He does. God knows best. God is sovereign. He established man's authority over women. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Read a number of verses here. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 11 to 14. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Firmly and clearly, God affirms his will for the wife, and that is submission. That is his plan. Wives, You should follow the direction of your husband as your body follows the direction of your head. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3 says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." I believe to resist your husband's authority is simple. It is to resist Christ's authority as well. And I believe that is very serious in God's eyes. Romans chapter 13. It's the number of scriptures here. We aren't going to take time to read. It's time to be bringing it to a close. But I have just a few things yet I'd like to say. But 1 Corinthians 11 verse 3 says, "But I would have you know." I read that. Romans 13, 1 to 2 says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." I'd like for us to think about this a little bit. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. This morning, God, as Creator, design your husband to lead and to assume the heavy responsibilities that come with that leadership. On the other hand, he designed you to be a follower and helper. Without a doubt, the Creator knows which role is better suited for the man and which is better for the woman. God knows best. The second reason that you as a wife should submit to your husband is because submission brings harmony and happiness. It certainly does. It brings harmony. It brings happiness. If you understand music, you understand that without order in music, you certainly cannot have harmony. It just doesn't work. That is the way it is in the home and marriage. Order and submission greatly contribute to harmony. When you as a wife reject your husband's authority, you destroy any possibility of harmony. It goes out the door. And I suppose you know very well what happens then. Personal happiness goes out the window with it. If you as a wife refuse your husband's leadership, your life will become miserable, and you're setting up your home to be a battleground. That is how serious it is. Wives, you need protection from the rough edges of life and from the spiritual attacks of the enemy of your soul. Life has its rough edges. It certainly does. We know that. And though submission does not eliminate all of them, it certainly makes them more tolerable. It makes them that you can work through those things. When your children see that you obey your husband, they will respect you more. There will be more of a respect. Guaranteed. When they are disrespectful towards you, your husband, I believe, will be more motivated to defend you and teach your children to respect you more. I believe that if you live under your husband's authority, you also benefit from added defenses against temptation. On the other hand, rebellion, like witchcraft, clearly puts us in satanic territory. 1 Samuel 15, verse 23 says, "For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." I believe that every woman wants appreciation, wants support, and wants honor from her husband. However, many of them do not experience these things because they simply are refusing to live in subjection to their husbands. Very few husbands will demonstrate appreciation, support, and honor to women who are independent and insubordinate. That simply, while they're called to do that, that's very difficult to do. The question could be asked, what about submission to an unbelieving husband? Well, I don't have all the answers to that, certainly not. But I believe the Bible does have some direction for us in this. 1 Peter 3 says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not in the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear." An unbelieving husband should know by experience that a Christian woman is the most submissive woman there is. I believe that to be true. Submission is your most effective tool to win for Christ. To win, if there is an unbelieving husband, I believe that submission is one of the most effective tools to win him to Christ. Certainly we know that submission cannot go against direct commands in God's word. I believe it's very important, though, to submit where it is possible. In conclusion, on this aspect of being submissive, and I believe it's, where we'll stop this morning, but I would like to give one more challenge. Your submission to your husband reveals the level of your trust in the Lord. You think about that. I pondered that a bit. But your submission to your husband reveals the level of your trust in the Lord, your obedience to him, and your love for him. I believe that to be true. The more submissive you are to your husband, the more evident your love, trust, and obedience becomes. That is because it is Christ who asks you to submit to your husband. If you really love the Lord, you will obey him unconditionally in everything. If you really trust in his wisdom and his omniscience, you will just simply unreservedly give yourself to the Lord, to his lordship, and to the lordship of your husband. This morning, it is impossible for you to trust and obey God if you are unwilling to submit to your husband. It's impossible. If the Lord would like coffee every day when he gets home from work, would you have it ready? If Christ would ask for a foot treatment, would you give him one? Well, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. Delight yourself in serving your husband, because that is the one way that you serve the Lord. Well, I trust that we can take that as an encouragement. Maybe the list seems long. Maybe the responsibility seems hard. I wonder how can we attain to all that. But with God's help, we certainly can. And I'm just so thankful for the helpmeet that God created for man to fill that void. And God bless you as wives, as you fill that responsibility. Let's kneel together in prayer.